Well, good morning. Very thankful for the opportunity to be here. Appreciate each one of you. And I'd like to say that I'm thankful for all of the superficial things. Maybe I'll back up just a minute and tell you that my name is Dan Adams. I'm from Webb City Congregation. I've got a red light. I don't know. I'm sorry. It was on mute. Is that better now? Okay. All right. I'm Dan Adams from Webb City, Missouri. I'm thankful today for all of the superficial things like health, strength. Try to keep my Thanksgiving current on that, not just one day a year, but try to remind the Lord that I am thankful for all of the physical blessings that he bestows on us. Thankful for the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm thankful for family. Thankful for things that I don't know how to share with you. There are details that I'm thankful for that some of them wouldn't make sense and some would be hard to explain. Some might be embarrassing, but I'm thankful for those things.
Yes.
Above all of that, I'm thankful today for the truth.
Amen.
I feel like that I've been very blessed to know truth, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful for instruction that has been shared with me through the years. And I'm thankful for the vision of the church.
Yes.
I'm thankful for perception that the Lord has allowed me to have, or I believe he has. Have a burden on my heart I'd like to share with you today that I believe is a gospel message. I'd like to treat this kind of like I do sometimes on my occupation. I'm a type of person when I take things apart, I put all the bolts in a bucket or a pan, or I've found that these little bread pans that people use to in the kitchen, when they exceed their life expectancy in the kitchen, they make really good bolt bins for me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've found that I can kind of categorize things a little bit with my bread pans. But many times when I'm reassembling something, I've dumped my bolts out on a surface and I begin to sort them out and begin to look for things that are similar lengths and diameters and those things, and then I begin to match those up with the components I'm reassembling. Sometimes it seems like I know all the bolts on first name basis, and sometimes it seems like it's a learning curve. Sometimes it's really steep. So I said all that to say this. I'm going to kind of dump some bolts out on the table this morning. And then I'd like to try to help us sort those out and put them in the right holes. Anybody here familiar with the 18th Amendment of our United States government or Constitution? Don't go Googling it. Y'all can fact check me afterwards, but I'd like for you to just pay attention right now. You can take notes if you want to, but it was a amendment that was proposed, introduced in the Senate, voted on in August the 1st, 1917, and it passed in the Senate with a 65-20 vote. Went to the House, they made a revision and passed it with 282 votes for and 128 against after they had made a revision. It went back to the Senate and it was approved 47-8. From there, to be an amendment to our Constitution, it had to be ratified by 36 of the 48 states, and that was accomplished by January the 16th of 1919. In October 18th, President Woodrow Wilson, at the time, vetoed that bill. The next day, the House overrode the veto, not with a unanimous vote, but it was a very obvious that the House and the Senate and the states wanted this to pass. So January the 17th, 1920, the amendment took effect, and our nation had a nationwide prohibition. The prohibition was an amendment that enabled legislation, didn't ban the consumption of alcohol, but it prevented, or it was supposed to prevent the selling, manufacturing, or distribution of alcoholic beverage in the United States. And if you was caught doing such, you'd be subject to arrest. And this amendment superseded many state and local regulations. And I can only imagine that at each time this amendment passed, one of its steps to becoming an official amendment to the United States, I could imagine there was a level of rejoicing and thanksgiving in a setting similar to this. Yeah. And I would imagine that when it became effectual in January of 1920, that there was a lot of rejoicing in churches and homes. There were probably families that had been impacted very negatively by alcoholism that thought that finally we've got a law against that. And you've probably heard the expression, "I wish there was a law against that," or "there ought to be a law against that." And our government made a law. And by passing this amendment to our United States, they legislated morality in our United States. On this one line, they did. It's not, well, it's on the records, but there was another amendment that overturned that, the 21st Amendment, about 13 years later, under a different administration. And I just, you know, there's things that we look on and we think that there ought to be a law against that. Shouldn't allow that to happen. And I think of the situation in Joshua, it closed towards the end of his life, when he called the people together and he began to reiterate to them the law, the things that God had given Moses and been handed down. And he brought their attention to all of the things that God had done for them and the commandments he had given them, and he got right down to the end, and he said in Joshua 24:15, I won't read the whole verse, just want to bring our attention to the important line. He said, "For me and my house will serve the Lord." May it pass the legislation, and you know how long that lasted? Well, you read down towards the end of the chapter, you can turn there and read it. Joshua 24, verse 31. He said, no, he didn't say it, but the one that put these words together for us to read today, it says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord and that he had done for Israel. It don't tell us this, but you begin to read the things, the events that happened. You know, the next book in the Bible is called Judges. And there was their inclinations toward God was like looking at a chart of the stock market. It was up and down. One day, one year, they were intent on serving the Lord, and then turn around a little bit, and everybody was worshiping idols again until they got in deep trouble, and then they cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on us again, and the pendulum swung back the other way. Joshua had tried to put a stop to that, and he said, it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it didn't last.
No, that's right.
When Joshua was gone, and those that had known him, those that were the old people, you know, you got a little corner out here full of old people, not in the building, out here in the corner of the property. And some of you, and I'm included in that, can walk out there and not see names that you don't recognize, but there's a lot of names that I do recognize. And I wonder how many Joshua settings some of those represent. Where they said, it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And pass some legislation that as long as I'm alive, you're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Not in my house. This is my expectation for you. How long did it last? Well, they're not here today. They're out there. How long did Joshua's legislation last? How long did the legislation passed that put an amendment in our Constitution? You know that when the Oklahoma State Constitution was written, it became a state in 1907, I believe, that alcohol distribution, manufacture, sale, that was all illegal. And Oklahoma didn't allow alcohol's production, distribution, or selling until 1952. It was much later than the 1933 when the amendment was passed in our United States to repeal prohibition. It just didn't last. I'm going to dump some more bolts out. So let's go to Revelation, the 20th chapter. A lot of you know what's in the 20th chapter, but I'd like to read some of the beginning. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. I'll stop right there. An angel come down from heaven, it says, with a chain. I put a chain in my truck before I came down, just in case, you never know. You might need a chain. But angel came down from heaven, it says, with a chain. And he got a hold, it says here, laid a hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him. To bind with a chain sounds like a method of confining that is not very forgiving. It sounds secure, doesn't it? And I believe that there's a lot of people that have a wrong perception of this verse. And maybe you want to correct me. I'd like for you to wait till afterwards, but about my perception. But I believe that this is not talking about the devil in his entirety. It's talking about the big red dragon in the 12th chapter. It's talking about paganism. It's talking about paganism being bound for a very long period of time, that 1,000 years. I don't believe that the 1,000 years is specifically starting like at 1000 AD and lasted till 2000 AD. I believe it's a long period of time. And it says here that this angel that came down, it said it came down from heaven. You know, we all would like to benefit from an environment that is protected. I want my children to create a safe environment for my grandchildren. I want the pastor of this congregation to create a safe environment for those that would come here on a regular basis. And I want a meeting like this to create a safe place, and I want there to be those that's willing to take a stand and say, like Joshua said, and like many of those that's sitting out there in the corner of the place here, behind the fence, that said, at some point, boys, you're not going to do that in my house. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here that could say, I remember Dad saying something like that to me. I remember him saying, son, don't do that again. I know what it's like to be a father of sons. And I know what it's like to have those face-to-face meetings when they start flapping their wings and making their decisions and having to trim some feathers. And I'm just sure that there's somebody out there that said something to somebody in here at some point. And I'm thankful that this scripture is in here. It says this angel came down from heaven. It sounds like it came from the presence of the Lord, doesn't it? It sounds like he came down and just provided something. Provided something so it could be safe. And paganism would be in bondage and not able to have the power over mankind that it had had for centuries. Probably could date all the way back to the very beginning almost when idolatrous worship was introduced little by little. You know, the devil, when he tricked Adam and Eve, he was introducing to the idea of idolatry and worshiping something besides God. And this angel came and put that paganism in bondage. Not, it wasn't that it couldn't have its like personal influence, but it was not a powerful element like it had been for centuries in the lives of mankind. Now I'd like to start putting some bolts in the hole. And I'd like for us to look at what this angel represents. Because it's almost like when I first read this, and this is something I've been studying this 20th chapter for another reason, but it seemed like the Lord has opened up a little bit of understanding. I'm going to share that with you here today. Seemed like this angel came down and on his own, single-handedly, put this, and maybe you've got an interpretation that's a little different than mine, put this paganism into bondage. I'd like to go back, and I would like to consider the events that led up to the 18th Amendment of our United States. And I read all those dates for a reason. And I read the votes for a reason. This amendment and its passing through the Senate and the House and getting revised and going back and getting approved again, it wasn't unanimous. But if you notice the numbers that I gave you, it passed by a wide margin. It was not, we need two more votes to pass this. It passed resoundingly. What do you think? Do you think that a motion to amend the Constitution today that would define a moral principle that you and I would hold valuable, how much traction would it gain in our government today? Not much.
That's right.
So there had to be something going on that would allow something of a moral component to just go sweeping through our legislative branch of government and get past to that point and to that significant margin. You know, there has been revival from time to time down through man's life since Christ came and the gospel was introduced. And we look back in history and on timelines and we say, well, the Reformation, and we put a date on there of 1530. Well, I will tell you, it began before that. But there are some things that we put on the timeline. And then we go along and somewhere along the line we start identifying something called an evening light reformation. You ever heard that term? It's almost become archaic anymore. Like people have forgot. But I want to tell you, there was something happening in our society in the United States of America that enabled and inspired, and there was all kinds of little movements and organizations and people that were gaining leverage to lobby the legislators to introduce a bill like this and to try to propose an amendment to the Constitution. That's a major legislative effort to amend our Constitution. It's not like trying to pass a bill for spending or something like that. This is much more long-term of a legislation effort. There had to be something going on behind the scenes that enabled these legislators were representing their constituents, yes, weren't they? And their constituents, for them to be able to be willing to vote the way they did and to get the bill passed through, to get this amendment to go through, they had to have I wonder how many letters were written. I wonder how many representatives were sent to the representatives. I wonder how many, this was a long time before communication that we have today. We get these people reach out to us and want us to call our representative or text our representative or do a survey or something like that. Well, this was back much more feet on the ground. And these people were serious. They wanted some change. And there was a real effort behind this to get this to happen. It's just that there were other world events going on at the same time. That about the time they got it passed and got it enacted, it all started tipping the other way. And why? Why did it start going the other way? Why did public sentiment change to where now we're doing good to have legislation in our local municipalities that keeps alcohol sales so many feet away from a school or so many feet away from a church or something like that? We're doing good to have legislation like that. Where can you go today to buy fuel for your car or fuel for your tummy that doesn't have alcohol for sale too?
Yeah.
You know why it is like that? Because people's individual connection with God and moral principle has deteriorated. And there was a time that it was the other way around. You know, I've read some of Adam Clark's commentary, one of the guy commentaries that I look to quite a bit. And he was commenting, I can't remember exactly where I read this, but he was very aware that public sentiment was tilted towards becoming more like Christ in his age that he lived. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in an age where you thought that other people had a sincere interest in being, having a more godly life? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? We would like to just have people that would give it equal consideration. But he actually lived in a time in our United States, and in his time of writing, his commentary, that the public sentiment was tilted towards the things of God instead of trying to scrape it off on every corner. That would be wonderful to live in a time like that, wouldn't it? Well, public sentiment changed, and ultimately there was another amendment to our Constitution that turned that prohibition over. And they've got lots of reasons for why they did that. And it sounds good. Their logical reason sounds good. And I know that Joshua meant good. And I know that my parents meant good. And I know that your parents meant good. If you're sitting here this morning and you had one of those meetings with your dad, and your dad said, "Son, that's just not going to fly around here." Maybe you're a daughter and you heard, we got a lot of young men here this morning. And so maybe you're old enough and maybe you've had some wayward ideas. And maybe your dad said, "That's, son, that ain't going to work. Not in my house." And he's laid the law down. He's laid the legislation down. And you're bidding your time, maybe. I hope you're not. But there's been many that's bid their time until I'm 18, till I move out and get in on my own. And then I'll do what I want to. And Dad's authority, Joshua's authority, the legislation in the government, it can't reach me here. I can do whatever I want to do. What about this verse, these verses in Revelation? What bound the dragon? It's a gospel. I'm going to tell you, it was a gospel.
Yes.
It was Christ coming.
That's right. That's
right. But really, what bound the dragon? You think about that. We was driving down here yesterday. Get south of Little Rock, a little ways, Pine Bluff. We get into some cotton country. Things that I was familiar with as a boy. Driving along, I know my wife probably didn't see this, but we passed multiple old structures that had been cotton gins. And along the highway between my house and here, I saw one that was in operation. And I don't know how many I passed. I know I counted at least four or five. And who knows about the one, that's the ones that were still standing enough that I could tell that's what it used to be. I wonder how many more there were. Because I grew up in a town of 700 that had two cotton gins. And there were probably a half a dozen cotton gins within a 10-mile radius. So there had to be, other cotton gins that used to be there, but they weren't there. Why not? Somebody quit taking cotton to them. Somebody quit hauling their crop to those cotton gins. You know why paganism was bound? People quit worshiping idols.
That's right.
You know why they quit worshiping idols?
Worshiping the Lord.
They were worshiping the Lord. You know what? We're putting some bolts and holes right now. You know why that Satan was bound? He didn't have any business. He didn't have no business. He didn't have anybody bringing their virtues to him.
That's right.
He didn't have someone that, you know, I don't know where you come from. I don't know what legislation has been passed on to you. I remember one thing my mother told me one time. She said, if you get to running with the wrong crowd and you wind up getting in trouble with the law, you can call me. But I won't bail you out. I mean, she laid the law down. I might come and see you, but don't count on me to get you out of jail if you get in jail. And if they come looking for you, I'm going to say, here he is. You think that affected me? Sure did. It affected me. And I'm thankful. Another thing I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that I wasn't. There came a time that I wasn't bidding my time.
That's right.
There was something that changed in me.
Yes.
To where I didn't have any cotton I wanted to take to the devil's gin.
That's right.
You know how to put paganism out of business today?
Worship the Lord.
Do you know how to make society better?
Yeah.
Bind Satan.
That's right.
You know how to bind Satan? Don't give him any ground.
That's right.
Don't allow it to be part of your life. Don't click on it.
That's
don't
right.
go to
yes.
it. Don't buy it.
Yes.
Don't revel in it. You want this place to be better that we live in? I want my grandchildren to grow up in a safe environment.
Yes.
I want you young people that's here today to grow up in a safe environment. One that you feel supported in and you feel that you're doing things right. I want you to have that sense of security. And you know how it's going to happen? All of us have to make a conscious decision. I don't go there.
That's right.
I'm not trying to start legislation here today, but I want us to realize that we're all going to vote for something.
That's true.
Be really, really careful what you vote for.
That's right.
And I hope this doesn't offend anybody. But you know that... And this is going to sound bigoted, so y'all just have mercy on me for a little bit. But I'm telling it for a purpose. Did you know that foreign car manufacturers would not sell one car in the United States if everybody treated them like I do? You know why? I ain't never bought one. I ain't bought a used one, and I ain't bought a new one. Now, if you drive one, please understand I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. But I'm trying to make a point. You know why they sell Korean-made cars, Japanese, German, Swedish, Italian? You know why they sell those brands of cars over here? Somebody buys them. You know how to bind that? Don't buy them. Now, I'm not telling you don't buy one.
Yes.
Please understand what I'm trying to tell you. Don't buy the devil's goods.
That's right. That's right.
Don't buy them a little bit.
That's right.
Don't be thankful there's an avenue that supports some kind of off-color desire and appetite that your has, that you have. It could be in a lot of different areas. It could be cater to all kinds of things of the flesh. Not just sensual things. It could be things of glamour and glitter and acceptance. And don't buy it. Just don't buy it. You know what will happen? The devil will go out of business in that area. The devil, he will be bound. You know what bound Satan? You know what bound paganism? It's the gospel message in people's hearts. And they quit showing up, and they didn't have enough people to operate their show. And they didn't have enough sacrifices to burn, and there wasn't enough people to haul, chop the wood and fill the moloch full of firewood and or whatever they burned in there. They had to scale back because they didn't have enough support. And we got tighter and tighter. Did it happen like they passed a bill in Congress? January 17th, 1920. If you get caught hauling alcohol, you're in trouble in the United States. No, it wasn't a specific date that the 1,000 years started. But I'm going to tell you, it began.
Yes.
You know, it can begin tonight.
Yes.
Or today.
Yes.
It can start this morning. And you can say, you know, I'm not going to buy another one of his products.
That's right.
I am not going to incorporate that anymore in my life. And maybe you've been tempted, and maybe it's been like the serpent that came along with his idolatrous ideas and tried to present it through reasoning. You know, some of the reasoning behind repealing the 18th Amendment was crime had increased, and organized crime was rampant because they were running alcohol. And we've all heard those stories of moonshiners and bootleggers and all of that. We've all heard that. I don't know if there was any in my family tree that did it or not, but I'm not going to repeat the story. I'm just going to keep it quiet if there was. I don't know. I'm just going to keep it bound.
Yes.
I don't want the devil to have any more room. So here's the thing. I listen to brother. Another thing I'm thankful for is, and I've come to grips with this, is messages being recorded. I can listen to what Brother Rod's been teaching y'all. Maybe not everything, but I get the ones they post. I can listen to him once in a while. Maybe more than he knows. I know what he's saying down here. And you know, I want us to be able to not just legislate something and say, okay, from now on. I had a supervisor one time that it was about the weakest from now on legislation I ever experienced. Something had went wrong at work, and he got us all together, and he said, from now on, it's going to be like this. And then it was like he turned around and did exactly what he said he wasn't supposed to. Made me shake my head. You know, we could pass a legislation from now on. If you're going to come to church here, you got to do this. Well, I've listened to him enough to know he don't do that. But I'll tell you one thing he wants you to do. From listening to him, he wants you to bind Satan.
Yes.
Yourself.
Yes.
Get it for yourself where you're not just bidding your time till Brother Rod is not in charge, and then you're going to twist it and go another way. Get it for yourself.
Yes.
Bind the Satan that wants to infiltrate our midst and bring in erroneous ideas and philosophies that's going to be out of step with the Scripture. And out of step with the principle that's in the Scripture. Bind Satan.
Yes.
Don't allow him free reign. It's because when we cut him loose and just let him do whatever he will, and we listen to everything that comes along with equal appreciation. Be careful about that. There's times that information comes to me and I listen to them with, I'm just going to say it like this, I listen to it with suspicion.
Yes. Yes.
Because I'm not sure where they're going or what they're going to say. Lord, help us today to be willing to bind and begin to put the chains on the devil.
Amen.
One link at a time. And if we will do our link today, maybe there's something this morning in the time of our little discourse. Maybe there's something that the Lord has brought to your mind and you say, you know, I've let him had too much freedom. I want to invite you and encourage you. Put the link back on.
Yes, amen.
Bind Satan. And he will be bound and he won't be able to have the influence. And you know, this is how revival starts. It's not, it wouldn't start because I'm such an impressive preacher. It would start if you will bind Satan.
That's right.
In your life and in your experience and walk carefully before him. It will put bondage on Satan that he cannot get loose from. This 1,000 years, I believe, could be protracted into many more if we're willing to keep him bound. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. I want to be able to put the bolts in the holes.
Yes.
And make this all come together. You pray for me.